Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of April 2017. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time to download the podcast. Subscribe, share, do it all. This is your monthly paranormal variety show, and I just had a great month, so thanks so much for taking the time once again and joining me here today.
And this is episode 39 of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
And you'd be an April fool not to subscribe, love, and share this podcast. Guys, thanks so much for being a part of this. Do you know I had over 200 new subscribers this month on Podbean? It was awesome. And just to see how many more people are actually listening to my show, it certainly warms my heart. So thank you so much. Listen, happy April Fool's Day to you. Happy Easter. Easter's a big one, too. I hope all is going well in your world. Things have certainly been going well in mine. My wife just recently went back to work, and I am now officially a stay-at-home dad. Things have been really interesting, so to speak. The most thankless job on the planet, I know, but still, I must say, I'm really enjoying the time with my kids right now. Before I dig into the podcast, just want to throw this out to the people. We've got two sponsors that are very, very important, and I want to make sure they get mentioned here right at the top of the show. First and foremost, got to mention Donuts and Dragons Game Board Cafe. Got to put it out there, guys. Check out Donuts and Dragons Game Board Cafe. Got to love it. Of course, Donuts and Dragons are located on Stavanger Drive and will be opening up very, very soon in St. John's, Newfoundland. So get on their Facebook page. Look up Donuts and Dragons. I'm sure they'll show up. Just look for the cute little dragon with a donut in his mouth. He's so cute. And also, our show is brought to you by Cutting Edge Wrestling. Wrestling that leaves a mark. It's been around since I think it was 98, but there's been different iterations. I was once myself a wrestler for Cutting Edge Wrestling. And a big shout out, of course, to Ryan Williams, my old pal. You may remember Ryan from my second episode from many years ago. He was actually a part of the episode we talked about The Ultimate Warrior and how he actually kind of predicted his own death. And, I just thought it was really suiting because this weekend is, guess what, WrestleMania. Gotta love it. Oh, yeah. From Orlando, Florida, baby. We're going to see some really awesome matches. I am a super fan of wrestling. I'm sure you guys are, too. Maybe you're not. It's not your thing. But you know what? I'm going to let you listen to a little something from Ryan right now because I feel like he got something he wants to tell you about because he actually got a show coming up with his crew really, really soon. So go ahead and have a little listen.
I'm here to let you know that CEW returns to the Paradise River Youth and Community Center April 7th for CEW Gang War. Show starts at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $15 in advance and $20 at the door. And don't miss the main event 2 years in the making. It's Gang War. Don Martini, Tony King, TJ Taylor, and Jack Carson take on Buck Gotch, Scott Humphries, Psycho Mitch, and Hellraiser Justin Locke. Only one team can survive. The fate of CEW is now.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for that, Ron. Get the information out there. Remember, guys, go check out Cutting Edge Wrestling. Support your local guys. Support your local guys. It's important. I'm a local guy. They're a local guy. We're all from Newfoundland. And what can I say? It's really, really awesome to be able to say and do these things with each other and work together, hopefully drawing some new fans. And there's no doubt I've decided that this show, before I jump right into the paranormal news, I just want to go ahead and actually take some time to talk about some of the weird goings-on with World Wrestling Entertainment, a.k.a. WWF, for those who may not have tuned in for like the last 15 years. I'm going to throw this out there to you. There's actually a lot of ghost stories from WWE, and I thought it'd be really cool, since it's WrestleMania weekend, to kind of throw them out there, because I've never had a chance to really talk about them before. And yeah, from one dead wrestler to the next, I'm actually going to go ahead and jump in and talk about some of the weirdness that goes on behind the scenes that you might not know. And there is a link to Newfoundland in my first story, and it comes from the legendary Rowdy Roddy Piper. And this one, of course, comes from Wrestling Inc. So I'm going to go ahead and give PW Insider their props here and read the article just for you guys. WWE Hall of Famer Rowdy Roddy Piper recalled his ghostly encounter with a deceased WWE wrestler during the Biography Channel Saturday night airing of Celebrity Ghost Stories. Roddy summarized his early days in professional wrestling industry as a 22-year-old kid with no family. He met another 22-year-old kid named Adrian Adonis, and they became best friends. He recalled angrily snapping at people, which led to Adrian calming down and advising him to purchase a house. Adrian believed that a house purchased would give Piper the family life he desperately wanted. He did months later and found happiness. Roddy, who faced Adrian before 93,000 people at WrestleMania number 3, lamented his death in a car accident. Adrian was killed on July 4th, 1988 in Lewisport, Newfoundland. That's right, just down the road from me, while riding in a minivan with fellow wrestlers William Mike Kelly Arco, Victor Pat Kelly Arco, and Dave Wildman McGigney. Adonis McGigney and Pat Kelly were killed when the driver, Mike Kelly, allegedly swerved in order to avoid hitting a moose and actually was blinded by the sun, inadvertently drove into a lake. Mike Kelly survived, albeit with severe leg injuries, so he never got away unscathed. Roddy said his daughter, Ariel, would later wake up in the middle of the night and scream because she saw a man in her bedroom. His son would see shadows and hear noises in an inexplicable manner. One day, when Roddy was home from a long road trip, his son, Colt, came running out of the residence screaming that there is a man inside. He storms inside, ready to confront the intruder, when he notices that the logs from the fireplace had tumbled out and caught the carpet on fire. As he scrambled to extinguish the fire, he encountered the ghost of Adrian Adonis. Adrian said, "Hey, Roddy," and then disappeared. Roddy stood still for a long time since he didn't want to leave the room. He became emotional while recalling this moment. Roddy believes Adrian is looking out for him and his family in the house that he was encouraged to purchase. He says Adrian is his brother and that he would never believe in ghosts had it not been for that encounter. So there you have it. Not every single time we run into, you know, paranormal phenomena, it has to be something scary and weird. Is the ghost of Adrian Adonis a helpful spirit? Well, I'll tell you this much. Him and Roddy are partying right now. Yes, unfortunately, we did lose Roddy Piper. Just seems like only yesterday, but it was a while ago that Roddy Piper did pass away. So they're both in heaven now and hopefully looking out for each other in there. Okay. Did you guys know that there's also ghosts around the tragic death of Owen Hart? Yeah, this is actually a really interesting one, too. So I'm going to go ahead and read this one, especially if you're anywhere near the Kemper Arena. So here it goes. The Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri, is one of the most famed arenas in the United States. It's held many memorable events, including several NCAA Final Four basketball games, the 1976 Republican National Convention, and a Paul McCartney concert the same year. But what the arena may also be hosting is a haunting. The Kemper Arena was built within 18 months between the years of 1973 and 74. It was the first major project of German architect Helmut John, who became an important figure in his field at the time. It was built to play host to the city's professional basketball and hockey teams. It continued to host a multitude of sporting events, including hockey, basketball, football, indoor soccer, and paintball. It also hosts professional wrestling venues, mainly for the WWE, which is where the ghost story for the Kemper Arena apparently comes from. On May 23, 1999, Owen Hart, brother of WWE Hall of Famer Bret Hart, died at a WWE pay-per-view, then known as the WWF event, when he fell from the rafters attempting a wrestling gimmick. He was supposed to be lowered into the arena on a cable when the release mechanism had somehow been triggered, having him fall nearly 80 feet to the ring ropes and then into the ring. While he did not die immediately from the fall, he was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. In the years since his death, there have been multiple reports of sightings of the ghost of Owen Hart. Employees have claimed to have been seen him in the rafters wearing the costume he was wearing for his gimmick, as well as the cable before he began the descent. There have even also been reports of flickering lights and other power sources that seem to go on and off in some areas of the arena. Owen Hart's death was an absolute tragedy for the wrestling world. For someone to lie about seeing the ghost of a person like Owen Hart would take a lot of nerve. However, not be the first time someone has. If he is haunting the Kemp Arena, it would make sense for him to be in the rafters, constantly reliving the events that led to his unfortunate demise. Meh. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'll never forget it. Back when Owen Hart died, wrestling was just starting to peak. It was crazy popular. And man, oh man, I can remember going to just outside my high school at the time. Actually, I was in junior high when it happened. And I just seen the guys who were wrestling fans and everyone is just crying. And I'm like, what's going on, guys? What happened? They were like, did you get the pay-per-view last night? And I said, no. And they said, Owen Hart's dead. And I was like, oh my God, that's so terrible. And the one thing about the story that kind of piques my interest is the idea that, you know, a lot of hauntings usually happen around tragic events. I can't think of anything more tragic than the death of the Blue Blazer himself. Let me tell you, it was a horrible thing. And my heart always goes out to Bret Hart in particular, who's still in the business today, although his brother lost his life to it. And, you know, if I was a ghost and I wanted to hang out, I'd probably want to hide and hang out around the place where I passed away to still entertain the people. It makes me wonder, is it a residual haunting that they're seeing, you know? The idea that energy gets trapped in a place. But anyhow, I digress. Because you know what? He's not the only ghost that's been seen. In fact, one might have even been captured on camera. And I'm telling you, I've seen this picture. And it is right up there, man. One of some of the coolest paranormal pictures I've ever seen. And in my opinion, I think it really is Macho Man Randy Savage. It looks a lot like one of his flashy costumes, but anyhow, I'll just go ahead and read the article it comes from. It's only short, but yeah, there's actually a ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage. Maybe there's something near following the announcement that wrestling legend Macho Man Randy Savage is going into the Hall of Fame. Of course, this is a few years back. Maybe the planets, particularly Jupiter and Saturn, have aligned. Maybe it's madness manifesting itself in spirit form, but the ghost of the Macho Man is now allegedly haunting a Florida wrestling promotion. And one of the people who wrote in about this actually wrote down, I was at a local wrestling event in Live Oak, Florida, and I was taking pictures. I posted one to Facebook, and a few hours later, people were saying that it looked like a ghostly figure of the Macho Man himself, Randy Savage, was in the photo. And you won't have to go very far online, guys, to see this for yourself. It's out there. It's strange. There's no doubt about it. It is weird. And if you see the picture, I'm telling you, it looks like Macho Man with his headband on and his big old cape and just used to wear really flamboyant costumes. It's pretty hard not to, you know, it's very hard to mistake the Macho Man from other characters, which is one of the reasons why I think he stood out just so much back in the day. And yeah, I just got to bring that up. You guys got to look it up. Ghostly picture or picture of the Macho Man, Randy Savage in ghost form, whatever it is, you got to look it up. Check this out. It is friggin' weird. All right, guys. I'll leave it alone. Happy WrestleMania weekend to everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed if you are a fan. And if you aren't, I hope you at least got a little genuinely creeped out from the three weird stories about the ghost of Adrian Adonis, Owen Hart, and the late Macho Man Randy Savage. Now it's time for us to get back to the regular old paranormal news. And, of course, I will say it one more time. This show is brought to you by Donuts & Dragons Game Board Cafe and Cutting Edge Wrestling. Wrestling that leaves a mark. Guys, some weird, weird stuff happened this month. It's true. And I got to talk to you about a little town called Onaway in Alberta because they have literally got their own version of the Ghostbusters 2 movie. It happened. Canadian Town's water supply has turned pink. Residents of Onaway, Alberta were alarmed to discover that their tap water was running bright pink. The peculiar problem began on Monday night when the water supply to around 1,000 homes in the Canadian town of Onaway turned a bright fuchsia color. The issue was later tracked to a stuck valve at a nearby water treatment plant, which had resulted in excessive amounts of potassium permanganate ending up in the town's water supply. This, of course, in turn turns it a brightly shade of pink, and it looks just like the ooze from the Power Rangers movie, the original Power Rangers movie. And we'll talk more about Power Rangers in a few minutes. While it is alarming to see pink water coming from your taps, potassium permanganate is used in normal treatment processes to help remove iron and manganese, and residents were never at risk, said Mayor Dale Krasnow, who was keen to reassure residents that the water was safe to drink. Images and videos of the strange pink water have since gone viral on social media. Well, I suppose that they did. I guess it would. If my water was pink, I mean, I don't know. I just really hope someone from the Breast Cancer Foundation, you know, takes advantage of this and, you know, maybe make some money off this. You know, raise some funds for charity. How weird is that? Pink water, right? Well, let me tell you, there are weirder things out there, and there's definitely been a lot weirder things that are no longer around. And what I mean by that is that back in the day, did you know the Earth was once covered in giant mushrooms? Far out, man. This is going to be a trip. Back when the tallest trees were only a few feet high, huge towers of fungus grew in excess of 8 meters. The terrestrial landscape was very, very different 400 million years ago. So much so, in fact, that rather than plants and trees, this prehistoric era was dominated by prototaxites, tall, spire-like structures that scientists have been struggling to understand since their discovery back in 1859. These days, it is generally believed that these peculiar spires were actually giant mushrooms. A 6-meter fungus would be odd enough in the modern world, but at least we are used to trees quite a bit bigger, said geophysicist C. Kevin Boyce of the University of Chicago in Illinois. Plants at that time were a few feet tall, invertebrate animals were small, and there were no terrestrial invertebrates. This fossil would have been all more striking in such a diminutive landscape. So there you go, gigantic mushroom towers. I just keep thinking of just going back, totally tripping out, enjoying all these mushrooms. Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Not every mushroom is deadly. But I tell you who are deadly. The Power Rangers. Are you guys going to go see the reboot? Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't heard any much good about it or bad, so that worries me. But I'm going to say this, you know, just because there's a new movie, it doesn't mean the past Power Rangers still aren't popular in media. Yeah. You guys may have heard this, but I've got some bad news. One of our Power Ranger friends from Power Ranger Super Samurai fame has actually pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter. The peculiar court case, which has coincidentally taken place just in time for the release of the franchise's movie reboot, certainly adds new meaning to the phrase, Go Go Power Rangers, because it's going to be Go Go Power Ranger to jail. The incident in question, which actually happened 2 years ago, saw the 38-year-old kill his roommate, Josh Sutter, with a double-edged sword following an argument over his girlfriend. That, my friend, would be Ricardo Medina Jr. from Power Rangers Super Samurai. It's so, so bad to hear him go to jail. The initial charge of first-degree murder was ultimately reduced to voluntary manslaughter. I think it's a good resolution for both parties, said Medina's attorney, Stanley Friedman. Having first appeared as the Red Line Wild Force Ranger in Power Rangers Wild Force series, Medina later returned in Power Rangers Super Samurai as well. In total, he has appeared in 64 episodes of the franchise, but now he's going to jail because he killed his roommate with a sword. God, ugh, just horrible. You know what? If Zordon was here, he'd probably put him on the right track. Oh, man, I can remember Power Rangers back when I was a kid. It literally took the place of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it was just a phenomenon. Everybody loved that show, and rightfully so. There was everything in it. There was teen drama. There was action. There was kung fu. There was old Godzilla-type movie shooting in it where giant robots took on monsters every week. It was just a wild ride. It was quite the trip. I kind of wish I had some of those giant mushrooms and go back and watch some of those old episodes, hey? Oh, guys, don't be such a chicken. Well, at least don't be a big fat chicken. A video of a giant chicken has been freaking out the internet. Have you seen this yet? It is viral after the other day. It started going viral on Thursday, March 23rd, so by now you should have seen it. Footage of what appears to be an abnormally large chicken has gone viral after appearing on Twitter. The clip, which was posted on Sunday morning, raised a few eyebrows on social media after Twitter user Lifesbrook_CEO noted how freakishly enormous the chicken in the video actually was. It didn't take long for the footage to be shared thousands of times, with internet users commenting in disbelief of the size of the bird and suggesting that it must be a prank or a man in a costume. As it turns out, the enormous bird is actually neither of those things. It is, in fact, a real animal known as a Brahma chicken. Females can weigh up to 14 pounds and males as much to 18 pounds. Its eggs, which are highly prized during the wintertime, weigh up to, get this, 60 grams. That's a lot for an egg, man. That's huge. Oh, God. So giant chickens are taking over the world. Look out. You should see this thing. You know, actually jump on YouTube and look this up. You know, giant chicken. Remember, they're called Brahma chickens, okay? Look them up. They actually look a lot like the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park in that movie. I think they might have modeled their walking off it. It was kind of creepy. But anyway, check it out. It's really interesting. And, yeah, I got to get into my last story. And this is going to be the best story I ever tell. You want to know why? Because I'm not going to tell it. Yeah, that's right. This one is coming from Channel 3 News. Okay, and I want you guys to know this. It's about a haunted ship called the USS Lexington, and it is awesome. I'm just going to go ahead and play the clip for you guys so you guys can enjoy it. And, yeah, sit back, kick back, and I'll let you guys have a listen yourselves.
Over the years, there have been lots of reported strange encounters aboard the USS Lexington Museum. Some people believe the aircraft carrier that served during World War II is haunted.
Some do, and over the weekend, a family visiting the attraction told us they got quite a scare, and they say it was all caught on video. Mm-hmm. Our Bill Churchwell has the story.
The Blue Ghost, living up to its name for Abel Morales and his family visiting over the spring break holiday. It's what they captured on this short video clip that is sending chills down their spines. Watch it again. You can see the door at the bottom of the stairwell slamming shut.
I was so in shock. I mean, I've never experienced anything ghost or anything paranormal ever in my life.
If you've been on the Lexington, then it's easy to see why some might get creeped out. But what caused that door to slam shut in the video? There are those who believe that there are past crew members who have never left this World War II vessel.
We've had hundreds of sightings. I mean, hundreds. I mean, we've had people leave the ship upset.
Rusty, the director of operations, has been on the Lex going on 20 years. The video, not surprising, after a similar scare.
It just started shaking violently. I mean, someone had taken that doorknob and was just pulling on that door, making a ton of noise. I grabbed the doorknob and I opened the door and there was no one there.
The museum's electrician tells me he also has seen his fair share of the unexplained.
It looked real.
Ernest Poor says he was standing in this very spot when
I see this guy in his uniform go across the passageway here, right through the wall.
And when we showed him the video taken over the weekend, he got chills.
That happens.
That happens.
That happens.
Back to that door slamming. So what you are looking at is the door that was caught on video. And as you can see, it's a door that leads to some offices. But was it a current crew member trying to scare this family? Or was it someone else? Bill Churchwell, 3 News.
So there you have it. Pretty creepy stuff. What do you guys think? Do you guys think the USS Lexington is haunted? I've heard that many people go on it just to see if they can have their own experience. And I might be wrong about this, but I think I might have even heard about some paranormal investigators actually going there and checking it out. So I think that's really, really interesting. The idea that, you know, buildings and stuff are haunted is great, but the idea of a haunted ship is just a completely different feel to it. And let me tell you, it's well worth the look of the videos online. Just look up USS Lexington and Ghost, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Guys, I hope you really enjoyed my little interlude there. You know I'm a huge wrestling fan, talking about the ghost of Adrian Adonis, Owen Hart, and, of course, the Macho Man. Ooh, yeah, dig it. God rest their souls. They're all part of my childhood, as well as Hot Rod Roddy Piper. Rest in peace, guys. I hope you're good. I hope you're up there, having fun in heaven. And as for the paranormal news, guys, we had stories of water turning pink like Ghostbusters 2 in Alberta. We had giant stacks of mushrooms, these mushroom tower things from back in the day. We had a Power Ranger who actually killed his roommate with a sword, a horrible thing to laugh at, but it's true. We had a giant chicken that just freaked out most of the internet this last couple weeks, and a ghost that causes a giant stir aboard the USS Lexington. Guys, all these stories have been odd to Newfoundland. All right, guys, I got your oddities coming up soon, and also your MUFON Minute with Laura, but first, I thought I'd just take a minute, maybe read a little bit of fan mail. You know, I've been getting a lot more of this stuff lately, and it's probably because I finally gave you guys a chance to communicate with me. If you'd like to talk shop, you got a ghost story you want to tell me about, a question you want to ask, jump on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop me a message. Or maybe even the Life After Death Society Facebook page and drop me a message. I'm there too. If you want to jump the line and get me right away, send an email to lifeafterdeathsociety@gmail.com. go ahead, drop me a line, ask me a question, tell me a story, do whatever it is you want to do. I actually got two pieces of mail here to read today, and also just a private message I also received. So this is actually going to be kind of cool. But you know what? Laura has been a part of this show for a while. Laura Gilbert, you guys know her as, you know, the MUFON Minute Girl. She's coming up a little later in the show. And this is the first time I ever got fan mail for Laura. So I wanted to make sure that she got to hear it today. So I'm going to go ahead and read the mail now. You got a post. This is from a fellow by the name of Dizzy Dave. And it reads, love the MUFON Minute. Laura is straight to the point, and the music makes me envision extraterrestrials partying with me and taking me away to somewhere strange and fantastic. I tell you, you have no idea how much that's going to mean to her. Because, you know, she only puts in a few minutes. But Laura will be the first person to tell you that for her, those few minutes might not be the easiest few minutes. It's hard to find the time to do this stuff. And Laura does it for fun. And she sends me the file and I clean it up and put it on here for you guys. So there you go. I find there's no bigger compliment to pay than to say that you love the MUFON Minute. And thank you, Dizzy Dave, for sending us that. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you guys can follow me, John Mallard, at Odd to Newfoundland, OddToNewfoundland, on Instagram. Yeah, and I actually got a question from somebody who said, hey, John, noticed that you got a lot of tropical fish. What's up with that? Well, to be honest with you, I got a lot of hobbies, not just this paranormal passion of mine. I'm actually into tropical fish. I got two tanks. I got a 20-gallon and a 60-gallon. And I got all kinds of weird old fish and stuff. And, yeah, you guys should check out my Instagram. I promise I won't pelt you with show information. Laura knows your monthly paranormal variety show would not do that to you. You know better than that. Just throwing it out to you. Check it out on Instagram. I think you'll like it. It's very soothing to watch those little videos, right? Very, very soothing. Okay. I'm going to read a ghost story. I actually got a ghost story on my Life at the Death Society Facebook page, and I asked her if it was okay if I shared, and she said, oh, yeah, because this is about a McGhost. There's a ghost apparently haunting Topsail Road McDonald's here in Newfoundland. So I'm going to throw this at you. She sent me this. She's sending this because my partner and I work overnights at McDonald's and have been having a lot of odd happenings lately. Late last night at 2:40 a.m., this happened. A spatula was secured in a holder. The only way is up. You figure out what happened, and it fell out. I wrote her, of course, and I said, you know, the McGhost is podcast worthy. I'm totally telling the story. And she said, pretty crazy, right? I just wish our cameras were better. We have stuff like that happen all the time, but this is the first time we've actually caught it on camera. And smelled lavender right after. Like fresh out in a field lavender. We're hoping Munn Library has some history on the property so we can figure out who our little friend is. Whoever it is an intelligent haunting, and it's pretty cool. And of course, I do thank you, Miss Kayla Bowden, for sharing that with me. If you guys got a ghost story, you want to share it with everyone, you want me to put it on the podcast for you, I'll go right ahead and do that for you. Just send it to, you know, drop me a line. There's all kinds of ways to get me. Best way to get me, of course, probably the Newfoundland Facebook page, okay? On the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Before I go ahead and go any further with your oddities, we are going to check in with my old friend Laura, who got her first bit of fan mail this show. Aw, she's so happy about that. Laura, what's going on in the skies this Easter in Newfoundland?
Thanks, John. Welcome to your MUFON Minute for April 2017, and happy Easter to one and all. Interesting news out of NASA from their official briefing office. NASA has selected a science mission that will measure emissions from the interstellar medium, which is the cosmic material found between stars. This data will help scientists determine the life cycle of interstellar gas in our Milky Way galaxy, witness the formation and destruction of star-forming clouds, and understand the dynamics of gas flow in the vicinity of the center of our galaxy. According to NASA, the dubbed Gusto project will fly an ultra-long duration balloon carrying a telescope with carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen detectors. This unique combination of data will provide the information needed by the team to untangle the complexities of the interstellar medium and map out large sections of the plane of our Milky Way galaxy and nearby galaxy known as the Large Magellanic Cloud. This GOSTO mission will provide the first complete study of all phases of the stellar life cycle. The mission is targeted for launch in 2021 from Antarctica and is expected to stay in the air between 100 to 170 days, depending on the weather conditions. It will cost approximately $40 million, and that includes the balloon launch funding and the cost of post-launch operations and data analysis. I know I am super excited to see what these findings will be. Also, it will be exciting to see this object fall back to Earth and all the related UFO sightings that come with that. Next, I am truly excited to share an amazing story from OpenMinds.tv, written by Roger Mersch. This is a very rare type of experience, and a Canadian one at that. MUFON case 82075 originates in 1991, when a Bathurst, New Brunswick witness reported a round, white ball, fist-sized object entering her living room at a window and making a clacking noise. We were sitting in my living room in Bathurst one evening with my three teens and preteen daughter watching TV, the witness stated. Something that seemed mechanical, a small, round, white ball, fist-sized with black eyes or a lens, moved the old plastic vertical blinds we had in those days. Made a clacking noise that both he and I heard. First on the left of the window, then directly in front of where William and I were sitting on the couch. Moving the hard plastic flats twice at the front pincher window, slipping into the room, and seemed to take a picture of us. We heard a clicking noise, and it seemed to have eyes or a lens that opened and closed. Both William and I saw it come through the closed window and closed window shade slats and move the blind, but the kids did not see it or hear it. He and I immediately turned to each other with huge eyes and said, "Did you see that?" But the kids laughed at us, as all four of them were just watching TV on the floor. The two of them jumped up and asked the kids again what they had seen, but they just laughed at them. He and I went to see if the window was open, and neither of the two side windows, maybe sliders in the bottom, don't remember, were open. There was nothing outside, and the blinds hardly moved when this object seemed to come through them to take a look at us. The two of them went out the front door next to the window and still did not see anything to give them a clue as to what happened. Canadian MUFON field investigator Paul Bedard closed this case as unknown. Very interesting. Remember, as you hunt for Easter eggs, don't forget to keep your eyes on the skies. Between the mini eggs and chocolate bunnies, who knows, you may have a few friends watching you back. If you do see anything unusual, please report it to www.mufon.com. For all things UFO in Newfoundland and Labrador, please be sure to check out the Newfoundland and Labrador UFO Network on Facebook. Thank you so much, John.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Oddities.
Oddities, 10 strange but very true facts about a very odd world. Fact number one, did you know that men are 6 times more likely to be struck by lightning than women? Well, yeah, it's probably karma. In 2000, did you know that Pope John Paul II was named an honorary Harlem Globetrotter? Yeah. Wow. So, like, can he dunk? Like, can you... One thing I've learned in this life is if you play on the Lord's team, you're always going to win. Did you know the number of words posted on Twitter each day would fill a 10 million page book? A 10 million page book. Twitter is just, that's so much. Isn't that crazy? Did you know frozen lobsters can come back to life when thawed? Wow, that's really interesting. Did you know Africa's population will more than double to 2.3 billion people by 2050? Whew. That's so many bodies, man. So many bodies. Did you know fortune cookies are actually an American invention? Charles Chung created them in 1918, and they are not Chinese in the least. Oh, it's kind of interesting. Did you know that Donald Duck comics were banned from Finland because he doesn't wear pants? Donald Duck, you nasty, nasty customer. Did you know that French was the official language of England for over 600 years? I did not know that French was the official language of England for over 600 years. That's so crazy. That's so crazy. Did you know a flea can jump 350 times its body length? The equivalent of a human jumping the length of a football field? Who's that jumping out the sky? And our last oddity. Did you know actor Tommy Lee Jones and former Vice President Al Gore were freshman roommates at Harvard? They were buddies. Small world. It's a small, odd world. Guys, I'm going to be right back with a guest you're going to love. Heather Criswell, When Help Comes From the Other Side, is coming right up on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Don't you dare go away.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
And welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Is there an afterlife? Is there a pearly gates? Or is there nothing at all? You know, it's a question that we've all racked our minds with for many, many a millennia. One thing I will say to people is that in my heart of hearts, I do believe there is something. But I just don't know what it is. But what if I told you there are those of us who are lucky enough to go there? There are those of us who are lucky enough to have contact with our loved ones who've crossed over. Tonight, we're going to talk to somebody who knows a little something about that. You know, I think one of the biggest questions we can ask ourselves is what happens to us when we die? And I believe that my guest tonight is going to be just a wonderful example of somebody who might be able to shed light on that, one of life's just greatest mysteries, what happens to us when we die. Is there an afterlife? Tonight, I have Heather Criswell, author, joining us tonight. Heather, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I so appreciate it. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm so excited to finally get you into a paranormal podcast because I know you're all about the other thing that's just crazy and makes absolutely no sense, which is parenthood.
Yes. Two separate ends of the spectrum, yet so much alike in so many ways.
Okay, Heather. You've got a great story to tell. And, you know, there are some guests who I have to prod with questions, 25 different ones usually. With you, I'm not even going to bother. Heather, tell us your story.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, as you were speaking, I was literally laughing inside because I came from a family that my father was, there's absolutely nothing after life. You are dirt, worm food. The lights are out, party's over. And I had a mother that was very spiritual of there is this afterlife and there's so much more than meets the eye. So it was a really powerful experience growing up in that space. And over time, I have experienced a lot of death and loss in my family. I actually lost every single member of my family, both parents, both sets of grandparents, dogs, and even five of our own babies we miscarried through. So we've had a lot of loss in our life, and that was in about a 12-year span. So I am an only child. My dad was an only child. His dad was an only child. So there really isn't a lot of family, quote unquote, for me on this planet. And it left me literally just wanting to leave because I felt like an orphan. And over time, I've done everything I possibly can to really nurture myself through that experience. But, you know, my mom died when she was 52, my dad when he was 61. So they were really young as well. And growing up, I had a lot of experiences as a child experiencing the afterlife signs. I would tell like the ghost stories, right? We would have a slumber party back in the day. I might be dating myself here, but I would be the one that would tell everybody the ghost story. And it would be something to the effect of when my grandfather, his brother died, he came and visited us. And when my grandfather died, he raised his hands up to the air and hugged himself. And he was completely paralyzed from multiple strokes. So there was no physical reason why he could lift his arms like that and embrace himself and smile, where he hadn't done that in 18 months. So my experience has been around this kind of a paranormal, if you will, or getting signs of, you know, as simple as a radio, a song coming on, or a penny on the ground. And so over time, I've just lived with this, but after experiencing so much death and grief and loss, I was just literally broken. And I did my best to muster my way through life, but it just didn't work. And I was fortunate enough to go through an experience with a women's retreat. And we did what's called breath work, where it's actually centering back into the body. And I had this experience where every single family member, my mom, my dad, and both sets of grandparents, actually came into my experience, circled me. Each one sat like one on each side of the shoulder, each hand and each foot. And they literally told me the story of why I was here on this planet and that they came here to literally serve me so that I could share this message with the world. And I thought, well, that's pretty egotistical. Like, you just came here for me. All six of you came here for me. And they said, you don't understand. This is like a blink of the eye on this planet. It's no big deal. We came here and we had fun. Don't get me wrong. And we had some other agendas. But that was our primary agenda, was to make sure that you got this message out, that everything circles back to love. And so when it looked like my mom left me and died and left me, that it circled back to love, to really own that self-worth and self-esteem for myself on this planet. When my grandfather was really abusive to me, as far as, you know, saying I was fat or, you know, I was worthless, nobody would ever love me, that he was actually serving me as a purpose so that I could really get strong in who I was, and even know that even a family member that's supposed to love me, quote unquote, the way that a family member does, when they don't, can you love yourself in that space? Can you stand in your power and say, you know what? You're wrong. I am powerful. I am loving. I am a beautiful person, regardless of my weight. And so what they did is they each individually told me their story of their life with me and why. And it was this powerful, meaningful experience. And of course, they say to me, after all is said and done, they say, do you have any questions? And I was like, yeah. So about this weight, how do I get rid of this weight? And they literally were laughing. They said, you know, you have all the answers in the world in front of you, and you're talking about weight. And they actually gave me a really powerful, it was crazy, of course, you know. And they gave me a really powerful answer that I needed this weight to actually, because I was going to write a book, and the book was going to be about this experience. And I was going to be in kind of a hibernation mode, and I needed that weight to actually sustain myself. So we talked about other things. They talked about spontaneous healing, how we all have the power to spontaneously heal in any given moment if we choose to, and we just haven't tuned into that vibration yet as people on this planet, but that we are far more powerful than we even can imagine. And so we wrapped it up. I was, you know, hysterically crying because I actually sensed them all. And they said, let us wrap you in a cocoon of love and you'll see what a beautiful healing power you have inside you. So I had these beautiful moments with them. And afterwards, I shared this story and everybody's like, you've got to write this. And I hem and I hawed and I was like, oh, I just don't want to write another book. I had, you know, already written a book and it was painful and long and painstaking. And one day my friend just said to me, you know, nothing is going to happen until you write this book. And I sent her one chapter and then the next chapter the next night. And in 13 days, I wrote this book. And the book, what it does is kind of take you on that journey through death and grief and loss and divorce and miscarriage, all of those things that happen in life. And it really showed me, how do I come back to love in every circumstance? And really, what is this life about? It's about love, and that they are always with us at any given time. We can call on them, and I call them my round table. And so I'll say, hey, I need a round table. And they literally come in an instant and help guide me, not give me what to do, but reconnect me to that wisdom within that I know what's best and remind me of it. So that's been the experience through this journey and ending up into this book that really gave me the power to see that the veil is very thin. If we can just take a moment and really look around, the veil's really thin. And for me in particular, my parents communicate with me through license plates. So I'll see personalized license plates that say, last night was one that said, turn to God. And so every day I literally see a license plate. One was, oh, wow. And it was just a really great day. And I was like, oh, this is just such a great day. And it said, oh, wow. You know, so they're always with us. And it can be in music. It can be in license plates. It can be a penny on the ground, a feather. It's really tuning into how can we connect with you and really have that moment together.
Very interesting. And let me tell you, like I said, I really wanted you to just start in with your story, and this is why. It's hard. Yes. It's hard to pick the brain that already has just a great story to tell, Heather. And you know, I think that's just a wonderful thing. The paranormal is not all doom and gloom. This is what the media has put out there basically to make money off, because everyone likes a good horror film. Let's face it. It's fun.
Right.
But reality is there's a lot of really wonderful things going on, especially on the spiritual side of things. Talk to me a little tiny bit more about what you would do in a situation where someone's just having, shall we say, the darkest of days. I mean, you seem like the type of person who would be a great comforting, shall we say, sound to them. Maybe they're listening to this podcast right now. Maybe they're down the dumps. Maybe they're not having the best day. I use the quote from the Friends theme song. Maybe it's not your day, your month, your week, or even your year. You know?
Right.
To Heather, someone like that, maybe some, maybe a little bit of advice from your own book.
Well, you know, I have experienced those days all too many. And when, you know, I found my husband and I found my mom and she had passed away in her house, and watching my dad suffer for many, many months in hospice. And so I've experienced those days. And what I can say in that space is that what I do best is focus on what it is that I am experiencing in the moment and how can I find the jewel in the mud in this, because it is mud. There's just no getting around it, right? When my mom died, there was nobody that could comfort me out of that space. What I could see is that when she passed away, her cat was circling her, and the coroner had come in, and, you know, of course they came in to make sure that there was no foul play and all of that kind of stuff, as you do when you call 911, right? And the cat was circling her, and the police officer came down and he said, "Gah, you know, that cat's a devil cat." He goes, "She won't let us near your mom." And I started laughing because I called that cat the devil cat. And I even had a little sculpture made of her as a devil because she was just the most awful cat to everybody on God's creation except my mother.
Oh, man, I hate to interrupt you, but I have a devil cat, too.
Oh, they're just the worst.
Tigger hates me. She hates me. I make the joke, it's my wife's cat, not mine.
And they do. I think my mom gave me that gift in that moment to know that she was there, right? Here's the deal, right? A lot of people say you're reading too much into this. You are making this stuff up. And you know what the truth is who cares? If it feels good to me and I feel like I'm connected to my mother and it comforts me in that space, in that darkest, deepest moment where I am breathing, trying to resuscitate her, and she is completely gone, you know, and literally as I was breathing into her, it was like this shell of, and it like was the air went straight through her body. And I realized in that moment, these are just vessels for us to house the spirit of love. And when we can honor that she's not really gone, she's still here. She's still with us. And I believe that for me, she was comforting me. She came to me in dreams often. She would give me little signs. For the longest time, we got mail addressed to my mother to our personal home address, which there was no reason for that. And for almost 10 years, we moved 4 times in that, and the mail kept coming. And those specific pieces of mail were from Sacred Heart Catholic Charities. And I happened to go to Sacred Heart Catholic School, which my grandfather built, her father. So it was just these really crazy people say, well, that's just a coincidence. Is it really? Is it? And even if you want to believe that, it comforted me. So my advice to your audience and for everybody really is find what feels good to you and stick with it. And sometimes I quietly ask, just give me a sign. Please just let me know that you're here. Something easy, effortless, that I know that you're here. And you'd be surprised. The light flickers. A song comes on that is meaningful and matters. A penny's on the ground. Somebody says something. You run in. I ran into my mom's best friend at the grocery store, and I hadn't seen him in 15 years since she passed away. Random. Is it random, or is she just there saying, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Because we're never alone. We're never alone on this journey. Even though I felt like an orphan, I often feel like an orphan, I'm not alone. And I think that that's part of the journey where we sit and we have a pity party for ourselves. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone on this planet. I don't matter. I don't have value. I don't have purpose. That's when we call in those angels, spirits, guides, whatever label you want to put on it. We call them in and we say, can you help us? Can you help me see something different here? And it, for me, shows up in the funniest little ways. I had something that I purchased, and it had one of those inspection stickers in it for the people that inspect it. And it was Al. My dad was Al. And it was an inspection sticker that said Al. And again, is it coincidence? You know what? It made me feel better in that moment. It made me realize that my dad was with me in spirit in that moment, saying, it's okay, sweetheart. Even though we're not here physically, we are here with you spiritually at any given moment, at any given time, in an instant.
Tell me a little tiny bit about the process of your first, I hate to go back in time again because it's just such a wonderful story, but sometimes you got to go back to that first chapter. Tell me a little tiny bit about the process that you went through to have that communication. You mentioned you were doing a type of breathing meditation. What exactly was that, Heather? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm just about ready to like try that right now. Because let me tell you, I'm always looking for guidance. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't need to be convinced of a world of spirit because, well, I kind of go and hunt for it on the weekends. I'm a paranormal investigator. But I will say this. Boy, I would love to learn how to do that. Tell me a little bit about the process you go through to connect to that world.
That's a great question. And it's actually a very simple process that I think it's so simple that people go, really? But when, for me, I had that experience through the breath work, which is breath work is just basically focusing on your breath in a very rhythmic way. And it's often facilitated by another person. Because it also can release a lot of energy for yourself, sadness, grief, loss, joy. There's a lot of energy that's stored up in our body, and often it can be released that way. But it's a rhythmic breath that you're just taking, and you're focusing in on your breath. And so you can do this on your own. And how I do that for myself is I just take a quiet moment, and I just breathe in and breathe out. And sometimes I don't even use the words. I just say, A, breathe in, B, breathe out. So A, B, and focus my mind into that space. And then I ask for what I'm wanting. So if I'm wanting some guidance on, I'm not really sure what to do. I'm not really sure what this looks like. I'm really feeling sad and lonely. Can you help me? And then being quiet enough to take those deep breaths in. And sometimes you can call in people that have passed on for your own family or friends. And sometimes there's other people that show up that you have no idea who they are in this physical realm. In other words, I'll give you a story to support that. My mom, we were walking in the park, and she's like, everything's kind of getting blurry. And it just so happened that night, my husband was with me, and he didn't come with us very often. But she said, things are getting blurry. I'm like, Mom, the bench is right there. We'll sit down right there. She collapsed and was in cardiac arrest, turned completely gray. And all I heard was this old woman say to me, just stick your fingers down her throat. Now, I am trained in CPR. I've been trained in CPR for 25 years because I owned a preschool for years, worked with children for years. So I've been trained in CPR. And it didn't dawn on me. I asked, I said, what am I supposed to do with this? Because I knew my mom was in trouble. And they said, she said, stick your finger down her throat. And I was like, oh my God, what? So I stuck my fingers, jammed them down her throat. And all of a sudden she came back and we loaded her up in the truck. I didn't even wait for the ambulance. The hospital was right down the street. And I said to my husband, get the truck, loaded her up. And as we were going there, we got her to the hospital and the doctor came out and he said to me, what did you do? And I said, I stuck my fingers down her throat. He says, why would you do that? And I said, well, this older lady told me to. And he says, at the scene? And I was like, no, in spirit. And he said, oh. And he kind of looked at me. And I said, she was like a grandmother kind, you know, but she told me what to do. And he said, the strangest thing, he said, that's a really bad move to do, but it's something that we are taught, but most people don't know, because when you stick your fingers down your throat, it creates a gag reflex. And so it jump starts the heart. It's like a defibrillator, a natural defibrillator. Huh. But the curious part of it was, is he said to me, he said, the problem why we don't teach this is because it has the potential to, they have the potential to bite your fingers off because the jaw can clench down. And it's, of course, you know, masseter is one of the strongest muscles in the mouth or in the body. And he said, so we don't instruct people to do that. So I'm very curious of why you chose to do that. And I said, well, I'm trained in CPR, but that's what they told me to do. So I did it.
Wow.
And later on down the road, my mom said to me, I said, do you remember anything? And she said, I remember going down and she said, I heard my grandmother and I saw her walk up next to me and say, it's going to be okay. And I hadn't told her about sticking my fingers down her throat. She was unconscious. So she had no idea what my experience was. I had no idea what her experience was. But once we met them together, there was something very powerful happening. And it leads to the point of we all have the choice of when we want to be on this planet or not. And they said that very clearly. They all specifically chose to die when they did for a very specific reason. Even my grandfather with Alzheimer's, he had Alzheimer's and he said, you know, I got that disease because I wanted to forget what a jerk I had been my entire life. He said, I wanted to leave this planet in a good space. And we were all grateful he had Alzheimer's because he was actually a really nice guy with it. You know, he was a totally different person. So we were grateful for the disease because other than it deteriorating him, he was actually a super nice guy. And he said that in his message. He said, I chose that on purpose because I wanted to leave this planet feeling good about myself. And so it really shifted the paradigm for me in the sense of, do we choose when to die? Can we choose when to die? Do we choose our diseases? Do we choose our ailments? And why do we do that? And so it opened up this whole door of the power within us that is so powerful that we can actually summons these people to help us. And also the power we have within, that we have the power to choose where we're going on this planet. Now, again, this is not for everybody in the doctrine that we are all often subscribing to of, you know, God chooses when you die. That's his choice, not yours. And they kind of rocked the boat on that and said, nope, that's not how it works. So it's food for thought. And I believe it because I've experienced it. And yet, you know, back to your point of how do we connect in with that? We sit quietly, we embrace them, we welcome them, and we listen. And that's something that's really challenging for a lot of people because we want to talk, me included. but, you know, we take that moment and we listen in and really hone in on what are you saying? And again, it may not show up in as quiet meditation. Sometimes they show up in my dreams. They show up in my dreams and literally tell me the story in my dreams. So it can be a lot of different ways for different people. And if you're open to the experience, just show me the easiest way to connect with you. Maybe it's through dreams, meditation, signs, songs, whatever. But just ask and you'll be surprised. You'll hear an answer and trust that answer. It's trust that wisdom within, that we all have that inner knowing that, and when it doesn't feel good, it's off too, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's the potential for that too, is if it doesn't feel good, trust your own gut with the feeling. And because sometimes other spirits come in and try and crash the party too. So
tell me about it. 5 years in the field investigating the paranormal, and I've never had one speak to me through my head, so to speak. But I've had the ability to capture them on recorders and whatnot. What's your thought on that? You know, the whole ghost hunting thing. How do you relate to that?
Well, I think that often I believe in it, and I don't know that ghost is the word that resonates with me. The word that resonates with me is spirits that have been just kind of lost and trapped and in some sort of yucky space, and that's like a formal term, yucky space. but that they're kind of in a limbo, if you will, and I think that even though my dad said he didn't believe in anything, I think in his heart of hearts, and my dad had this beautiful day of what we called the enlightenment, where he literally had this experience where he was wrapped in a cocoon. He called it a cocoon of love. And he said he was transported to a place, and this is right before he died. He was transported to a place that was bigger than love. He says there's no word that describes it. It's love amplified millions of times. And he said the only word that you can understand is love. And he said, I really understood what all of this was about. And so he had that experience before he left, because I believe that he would have a hard time transitioning. And he would also call me and say, Dad's standing right next to me, his father. What do I do? And I said, ask him why he's there. Ask him what he's doing. And I think that they were just guiding my dad through that space of transition, because I think my dad could have been so scared, so lost, that he kind of trapped themselves on this physical plane, if that makes sense, because they're so scared and so lost and don't know. And if you don't have those people helping you through that transition, I think it's a scary thing for a lot of people. And my dad had me, which I helped him through the transition. He had his father from the other side guiding him over, saying, it's okay, I'm here. And then he had this experience of the cocoon of love, right? Mm-hmm. And even the night before my dad passed away, he called me, or I called him, and I just knew I had to intuitively talk to him. And he said, I'm not going to be able to talk to you anymore. I said, okay, Dad, whatever. You know, he was in and out, delirious at times. And he says, I'm not going to be able to talk to you anymore. I'm going like astronauts do. And I said, on a mission? And he said, yeah, I'm going on a mission. And he says, I'm not going to be able to talk to you anymore on the phone. He says, but I love you and I'll always be with you, but I'm not going to be able to see you anymore. And I said, okay, Dad, okay. Well, I love you. Have a great mission. I'll see you tomorrow. Like, you know, and see you next time. And the next day he passed away. Wow. And I think that he was given that gift of, I'm going on a mission. And I think that, to your point of ghost or spirits, I think they are so scared and so lost that they didn't have anybody help them. And if my belief is, if you die being so scared and so lost, you have the potential to stay in that realm until you figure out another way. And so people like you, people like that help people cross over, you know, I've had a lot of healers in my life that have come into a room that sense that this energy, this presence, this spirit doesn't know what to do. And they've guided him back to the light, and then they clear out. So I think it's just a kind of limbo, if you will, when they're kind of trapped here and don't know that there's so much more, or don't believe that there's so much more than meets the eye.
So Heather, do you think it's possible for anybody, no matter what walk of life they're from, no matter where they're to, whether they're a very happy type A personality like yourself, or maybe a type Z miserable as you can be type person, do you think they all have the ability to cross the veil like you do?
I do. And that circles back to my whole company is Wise Inside, that we all have this wisdom within. I don't think that it's exclusive. I don't think there are special people on the planet. I think there are people that have tuned into it more and are more open and free to experience it. I think it's incredibly prevalent in our children. If you notice that with kids, they're more open to the other side. My son will have experiences where he says, Mommy, you know, so-and-so came and played with me today in my room. Or he even said the other day, my husband took him to Panda Express, which is, you know, a Chinese fast food Chinese, which I hate. And he said, Grandpa Al and I come here all the time. We come here all the time. He's never met his Grandpa Al. His Grandpa Al died, you know, 3 years before he was born, 2 years before he's born. And we adopted our son as well. So, you know, he's never met his grandfather. He doesn't. And he says, Grandpa Al and I come here all the time. He sits there. I sit there. Grandpa Al lives down the street from us sometimes. Sometimes he lives in our house. Sometimes we go here. Sometimes we go there. So it's really interesting. I think kids in particular are much more tuned in because that veil is much thinner versus us as adults that we've had many, many years of layering that veil, if you will.
Many, many, many people have come across your path. An entrepreneur, a business lady, owned three businesses at the same time. My God, the time management skills. Heather alone would be a great podcast to have. I know this is going to sound crazy, but a half hour is up.
And it's crazy.
I know. It's crazy. But you know what? That's what happens when you talk about something you love. Is there one message out there for people you'd like to, like, just, if there's one thing you can tell people right now about your experiences, just one thing, just sum it up, what is it?
Well, the one thing is that our journey through this life, all of the suffering we experience, all the sadness we feel, and all the sickness that we endure, it all leads back to love. And when we can step back and really experience that from a space of love, love for ourselves, our children and family and each other, when we can see it as the grandfather that was abusive to me actually served me. How are you serving me in this moment? How did it serve me that my mom died at 52 years old? Because you know why? I had to fly on my own. I had to spread this message on my own. And she couldn't be here on this planet at the same time with that. So seeing the jewel in the mud, seeing the love that's there, that's the biggest takeaway from all of this, that everything circles back to love. And when you're in any circumstance, can you sit there and say, how does this circle back to love? And if you can't see it, then you ask them, you ask the spirits, you ask your guides, your loved ones, how does this circle back to love? How is this serving me? And how can I share that with the world?
Heather Criswell, ladies and gentlemen, a beautiful message from a beautiful person. Check out her book, Wise Talk from the Other Side. You can get it online. Check it out. And also visit wiseinside.com for more information. Heather, thank you so very much for being on my podcast.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I so appreciate it.
You're a part of the paranormal now. I'll talk to you again someday, I hope.
Yes.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, @ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.